I'd like to thank the two presenters for their presentations and for setting the stage. First presenter talked about children, and the second spoke about adults in a rural area. I'm actually going to talk about African-American college students, so the young adults, to kind of round out the topic and share some different perspectives. So I'll be speaking on African-American male and female student perceptions as it relates to a tool or an instrument that we use called the Pulver's Body Image Scale, and I'll share that, and how it relates to implications for healthcare, obesity, and prevention. I'd like to thank Dr. Yvonne Varner for giving me the opportunity to work with her at Morgan State University. I don't have anything to disclose this morning, so I'll just give you a second to review that, but I have no relationships or items to disclose. Okay. So I'd like to just share a little bit of a background. Many of you may have know a lot of this information, but I think it just puts some context for that. We know that obesity is a major, major public health issue, and the trends continue to be concerning. And one of the two major goals of the Healthy People 2020, which comes out every 10 years, excuse me, is that one is to reduce the obesity prevalence among children or adolescents and adults from 30 to 15% respectively. And no state has actually achieved any of these goals, including the promotion of health equity, which was traditionally called the elimination of health disparities. And so that's a concern that no state, even though that these are objectives nationally, has actually met these concerns or objectives. But what also I find to be pretty fascinating is the economic cost to obesity. What we see is that there's an estimated annual medical cost of $147 billion. And based on the opening ceremonies yesterday, the actual numbers increased to $152 billion. And I've actually seen some numbers that's close upward of $191 billion for the medical cost of obesity. And when we compare the cost of obesity to individuals who are normal weight, we see that obese individuals, their annual cost is $1,429 higher than normal weight individuals. Now, taking a look at the prevalence of obesity among adults, and we are defining adults as those 20 years or over, and comparing the differences in race and sex, and the comparison is looking at non-Hispanic whites, blacks, Hispanics, and Mexican Americans. What we see in the first panel is that upward of 50%, close to 50% of African Americans, non-Hispanics, blacks, have the highest prevalence of obesity compared to the other groups. So we automatically see a difference here as far as race and prevalence nationally. But when you compare, when it's teased out or stratified looking at males and females, we see that 38.8% of African American men, they have the highest prevalence of obesity, though it's not significantly different from the other groups. So again, even though African American males have the highest prevalence, it's not significantly different from the other groups that are looked upon here, whites, Hispanics, and Mexican Americans. But when we compare women, close to 60%, as many of us know, of African American women, have a higher prevalence of obesity compared to other groups in the United States. Again, we know the statistics, 2/3 of Americans are overweight and obese, and there are many risk factors, chronic illnesses that are associated with overweight and obesity that many of us are familiar with. But in addition to that, there's some others that I wanted to highlight because of the population and the study that I'm going to be talking about, particularly at the college age level, and that overweight and obesity are also risk factors for infertility, for not having a menstrual cycle, and impaired thinking and cognition. So these are some other factors that may not be as common as the traditional risk factors for obesity and overweight. So there are many causes. The etiology of obesity and overweight, it's very mixed, and it varies from one person to another. So with that, there should be a diverse approach applied to not only the causality, but for treatment and prevention. And again, many factors are associated with obesity and overweight as risk factors. And we won't talk about all of these, but I just want to highlight that there's so many, so the causality and approach has to be addressed differently from different approaches. And many approaches that are common, such as lifestyle interventions, weight loss drugs, or in extreme cases of obesity, bariatric surgery. So these are typically common. But is it possible that other factors could be playing a role that are not looked upon as a causality or treatment or for even prevention? Is it possible that perception of one's body image, how one views themselves, their psychological image of how they see their self and their body, could that play a role in the prevalence of obesity in minority populations? And could that actually be a variable that's not being considered? So One of the fascinating things with the study is that there's not a lot of data that exists looking at this particular unique population or the relationship of perception and body image and obesity among African-American students at an HBCU. And African-American students or students in general, they are going to frame the future and the next thinking, and they're going to parent the next generation of perception of obesity. So what they think is actually often going to get passed down from generation to generation of beliefs and culture. So body image. One of the things that when the studies that are shown, and again, I'm putting some context to put our data in perspective here, is that there are differences in perception within race, as we know, between gender, but there's also differences within gender. And this is why we need to study a variety of populations, because there's so much variability within race, within gender, within groups, that we want to be able to look particularly at underserved populations, particularly students at HBCU. So what do we know about body image and race? Well, know that African American women typically or historically, they tend to be more satisfied, as even one of my colleagues, a presenter, showed, within their bodies. They tend to love their bodies, they have more positive feelings, even if they are weight or obese, they tend to embrace their bodies a bit more so than European American women, as shown by Harris. But in some instances, some African American women actually perceive a larger body image as ideal, and some actually perceive and they want a normal body weight. So we see that even within gender, some African-American women like a larger body image, but some African-American women actually like a normal BMI. And what we're also seeing, which is interesting, is that some African-American women are actually preferring an even smaller body image. But that's for the scope of this talk. Then let's look at gender and body image. One study I just want to highlight here, looking at for 300 students at an HBCU, seniors in particular, more women were actually likely to say, again, these are college students, more likely to say that they were overweight, more so than males. So they perceive that women perceive themselves to be overweight than males. But when we compare their belief or their expression of body dissatisfaction, we see that more females, again, also expressed more body dissatisfaction. Males were more comfortable in their body, in their skin, in their overall, which is something that, which is somewhat of a common thread as well. But what I thought was pretty interesting and fascinating here is that most of the males did not believe, or a fewer percentage of males, they didn't see that their weight was associated with disease risk. So when they're asked, well, do you think being overweight or obese is associated with cardiovascular disease, most of the male students did not believe that. So they didn't make the connection between weight and weight gain or being overweight or obese with some forms of cancer or with hypertension or with cardiovascular disease. Whereas more females, two-thirds of the females, saw that connection. So that's one particular study. And then third study that I'd like to share, just to kind of set the tone, is that over 1,000 first-year students, and this was the largest study done in 2009, with looking at six HBCUs, that half of the students, about 50%, said that, yes, they perceived their weight to be just about right. But that was what they were, that's what they reported. But when they were actually measured, which is very different, reported versus measured, only a third of those students were actually overweight based on their BMI. So even though they thought, most of the students thought that they were normal weight, a third of them were actually, 50% thought they were about right, they were in a good weight, a third actually were overweight. So there was an inaccuracy there in their perception. Which leads to our study. So that set the tone. Our study was the Weight Management Initiative study, and we actually wanted to look at an association. We wanted to see the correlation, and to see if there was a powerful agreement between a student's perception of what they thought was their current weight, their ideal, and healthy body weight, and seeing if there were any gender differences between the two. So we wanted to assess agreement between the perception of what was reality, their ideal body image, and healthy body image. And we used a tool called the Pulver's Body Image Scale for that. Okay. This was a cross-sectional study, primarily of freshman students at Morgan State University, and it's in an urban setting. And most of the students self-identified as African American, and we collected demographic information, which I'll show later, such as sex, gender, etc. And then we developed a questionnaire, and it was administered, and so was the Pulver's Body Image Instrument. The unique thing with the Pulver's Body Image Scale is that it's culturally relevant, it's highly sensitive, and it's highly validated, and it's appropriate for the setting that we used it in. And it's adapted from a previous well-known scale called the Stunkard's 9-Point Body Image Scale. So the Pulver's Body Image Scale and Stunkard are very similar in that it's a 9-point image scale. It's just that the Pulver's Body Image Scale is more appropriate for the population we're serving. And it displayed a very strong psychometric performance in that we were able to measure perception in using this particular tool. And it was validated by physicians, registered dietitians, as well as research staff. And the Spearman's correlation coefficient was very strong in that the method that they used in the Pulver study was they were able to organize and sort the image from 1 to 9 consistently, and that there was BMI correlation with that as well. So this correlation, the actual images from 1 to 9 are highly correlated with the BMI as well. So here's the Pulver's African American Body Image Scale developed by Dr. Pulver's. And as you can see, there are 9 images, and they increase from particular weight to overweight and obese. And we'll go into the categories of the Pulver's Body Image Scale. And in figure 2, you see that the body image figure increases, the mean BMI increases as well. And there is a strong linear trend based on the correlation coefficient for this particular correlation between the body image and the BMI. The women had a slightly stronger correlation in their ability to sort the images and its association with BMI than men, but overall, the trend is quite strong, and there was a robust agreement in inter-observatory responders. And based on the image and BMI, images 1 through 3 were categorized based on based on the body image figure and its association with BMI, considered normal weight. Image 4, based on body mass index, was considered obese, and 5 through 9 were considered obese. Let me say that again. 1 through 3, normal weight. Image 4, overweight. 5 through 9, obese. Okay. So students were actually shown the image, and this is how the study was conducted. And they were asked 3 questions. So each student gave a result of 3 data points, because they were asked 3 questions and they responded to the 3 questions after they looked at the image. They were asked, please circle the body shape that represents where you are today, your current status, and what you consider your current body weight or body shape. They were also asked to circle the shape that represents what's ideal for you. And then the third question they were asked is, what shape represents what's healthiest to you? So each student was asked 3 questions. And for data analysis, based on BMI, we categorize 1 through 3 as normal weight. And we know that it concerns as far as what we're seeing as normal weight here, but this is based on BMI and why there are some concerns and limitations with BMI. However, overweight was image 4 and obese 5 through 9. And this is what the students did not see, this particular addition. This is what was used just to share with you how we categorize statistically the images. So as far as demographics, the majority of the students in this population were somewhat evenly distributed, but they were mostly female, predominantly African American. And what we found was interesting was that when they were asked in the survey how was their health in general, independent of perception, they felt that their health overall, about 80%, felt it was good or excellent. But what was also pretty interesting was that when they were asked, how do you describe your weight, 60% said normal. So this is before they looked at the image, the image scale. This is before they had any viewing of the Pulver's body image. They felt that their body weight, was normal. And what data that we don't see here, but we thought was also fascinating, was that they were asked, what is your perception of body image when you were a child? What was your perception of your body image when you were a teenager? And what was your perception of body image in college? What we found was that their perception of overweight and obesity increased as they went from childhood to teenager to college age. So we can see that perception also changes with time and age. So what do we find here? So the students who selected, so this is the response, those students who selected the normal weight body image. What we found was that when we looked at the difference between males and females, is that there was no significant difference between the students who said that the normal weight image is my current shape. There's no significant difference there. So, and we'll see this consistently for the others, so I'm kind of giving you a heads up on what you're saying. So we see that also for their responses to the obese and the overweight. But there's no difference between males and females. What we found that was very interesting was that the females significantly chose the normal weight image as their ideal and their healthy body shape more so than the males. Okay? And the second thing that we found, the item we found as far as their response to the overweight body image. So the students who actually chose the overweight body image, we saw again that there was no significant difference between the males and the females in their selection of the overweight body image as their current shape. There was no difference, even though there was slightly higher selection for the males, but no difference. But we see the reverse whereas the responses to the normal weight, primarily females, were ideal and healthy. For the overweight body image, significantly more males selected the overweight body image as their ideal shape, and more males selected the overweight body image as their healthy body shape compared to females. So completely opposite from the normal response, normal body shape. And we see very similar, but even a broader gap in response here. Again, males and females, no significant difference, but a broader and a much greater difference between males and females with the obese body image. Significantly more males selected the obese body image as their ideal shape, and more males selected the obese body image as their healthy body shape. And this is pretty alarming in seeing that this was a preference for not just ideal, because ideal is, okay, this is what I want to be, but seeing it as healthy, which is a totally different paradigm. So in summary, more African-American HBCU college females, they chose the normal body image as their preferred body shape. But more African-American college students, the males in particular, they selected the overweight and obese body image as their ideal and healthy body shape, more so than females. But something else we thought that was pretty interesting is that over half of the students, male and female, they actually identified their current status as overweight and obese. So they actually, this is what they perceived. Even though before they looked at the pelvic body image, 61% said, hey, I'm a normal weight. Whereas after they looked at the body image, their perception changed because now over half identified their weight as obese overweight and obese. So what are some of the implications? One, African-American freshman males, they prefer a larger body shape, and they perceive this larger body shape as healthy and ideal. And this could increase their risk for early onset of certain chronic diseases. It's very possible. And the reason for that is it often is cultural, and maintaining this cultural perception that a larger body shape is preferred, it's endeared, it is, you know, it's appreciated. It may, we're not saying it would, but it could limit the motivation for weight loss. Because if you don't feel that you're obese or overweight, and if you don't feel that it's any health risk, you're not going to be inclined to want to make any changes. So it could dampen the motivation for positive health outcomes. So in conclusion, our data support the longstanding view that some African Americans, we're saying some, we're not making this general conclusion here, but some, and some students, African American students, believe that overweight is ideal and healthy, particularly in males. Another thing I want to highlight is that having a correct or accurate real perception of your body status can potentially be needed to engage and take on some appropriate healthy behaviors. And our findings are very relevant because, again, students in general lay the foundation for future parents or generations to make choices down the road for passing on their ideas of obesity, and has great implications for obesity in healthcare and underserved populations. Thank you very much, and thank you, APHA, for giving me this opportunity to present my research. And Dr. Bronner, Dr. Hussein, Dean of our School of Public Health, School of Community Health and Policy, my director, Dr. Forrester, the students who participated, and the graduate research team. And thank you very much for listening.